streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden's made his first public comments on the Colorado Supreme Court's ruling that former President Trump is ineligible to appear on the state's primary ballot, finding he violated the insurrection clause of the Constitution's 14th Amendment.
You saw it all. Now, whether the 14th Amendment applies, I'll let the court make that decision. But he certainly supported an insurrection. No question about it. None. Zero.
Trump's legal team is expected to appeal. The president's in Wisconsin, where he's touting his economic policies. The mayor of Boston, Michelle Wu, formally apologized to two black men wrongly accused of the 1989 murder of a white woman. Her husband had orchestrated her killing. He blamed it on an attempted carjacking. And Rite Aid cannot use facial recognition technology for 5 years as part of a settlement with the FTC over allegations the system was used incorrectly, led to thousands of incorrect matches. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Wisconsin today talking up his efforts to boost the economy. He tells supporters in Milwaukee that unemployment is at a 50-year low and confidence is growing that the U.S. has averted an economic downturn. 35,000 state university employees in Wisconsin are getting their 4% pay raises that were approved 6 months ago. A deal struck between lawmakers and the university's trades raises and building money for curtailed diversity efforts. It got final approval by a panel of lawmakers yesterday.
Diversity, equity, inclusion is important. The action we are taking today should have been done months ago and should never have been used as a bargaining chip for this process.
Senate Democratic Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Thanks to an increase in property taxes, Duluth firefighters will be receiving a pay raise in 2024. According to a Minnesota Professional Firefighters Association study, Duluth firefighters are paid an average of $53,000, well below the average state salary of $65,000. Compared to similarly sized departments across the state, Duluth was last in average pay, about $4,000 lower than the next lowest average salary. Duluth, however, is reportedly the third busiest of those departments. The Diocese of Duluth has released a statement regarding Pope Francis's approval of allowing Catholic priests to bless same-sex couples. While the decision aims to make the church more inclusive, it stops short of allowing priests to perform same-sex marriages. In Bishop Daniel Felton's statement, he praised the Pope's decision, saying the church must meet sinners, which is all of us, not with harshness, rejection, and immediate demands of moral perfection, but with gentleness, patience, mercy, and love. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WBZH News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Another Bucks milestone. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Spurs 132-119. Damian Lillard led with 40 points, becoming one of only 51 NBA players to score more than 20,000 points in their career.
A rare space to be in, you know, in the history of this league, to have only 51 players accomplish something like that. You know, I think that speaks for itself. I look at, you know, what led up to it, the things that I think of in high school and college and, you know, the doubt that I faced over the course of my career, you know, before the NBA. And just my mentality through all of those things, you know, sometimes you don't really see the light at the end of the tunnel. You just gotta have that faith in yourself.
NFL, the Packers play the Panthers in Carolina Sunday. Defensive back Eric Stokes, glad to be back after recovering from a badly injured foot and knee.
It was a great feeling being back out there. I ain't played ball in over 13 months or whatever. So it was a great feeling just being out there with the guys. Very, very much emotional.
That's the Packers' Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A mostly sunny, vibrant, and beautiful day ahead, with high temperatures climbing to the upper 30s. However, winds are still feisty out of the east, gusting up to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, more clouds roll in as we become mostly cloudy and lows crash to the mid-20s. Right now, 33 degrees.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alpaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alpaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alpaugh, along with our producer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Wednesday, December 20th, 2023. Mr. Zommers, what is it? It's hump day. We got a lot going on. It's okay. There we go. We got a Geico Camel. It is hump day. Yes, indeed. 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Glad to have you along with us live wherever you are taking us across the state of Wisconsin. Always great to have you along with us. And always great to have our ongoing contributor and friend, a former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us live from our nation's capital, Trygve Olson. Trygve, how the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm waiting for the Wednesday when Zommers breaks out the Humpty Dance by Digital Underground.
It'll happen.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
Some Wednesday we could just have a little dance party for about
minutes.
Well, however long that goes.
We had Brigadier General David May, the commanding officer of the Wisconsin Air National Guard on yesterday, and some of his fine folks. And the last 15 minutes, we just did music that the general likes. We just did music and talked about music.
I like it.
Yeah, it was super cool. Yeah. We'll do that with you someday. Well, speaking of parties, Trygve, there's lots of news to get to. We plan to get to it in this hour. Of course, the Colorado Supreme Court yesterday handing down a decision which bars Donald Trump from appearing on the ballot. That will now be expected to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll talk about that. Also, Trump's ridiculous comments, anti-immigrant comments. We'll try to get some of that as well and talk more with Trygve on politics. But a party, speaking of Trygve, is happening today down in Milwaukee. President Joe Biden is preparing to give remarks to the Black Chamber of Commerce and highlighting what his administration has done for Black-owned small businesses, but also businesses across the country. We are going to carry that speech for you live right here in a special report on Civic Media. We anticipate that in about a half an hour or so. Trygve, you know how these things go, being an advanced guy. Never on time, yep. Right? One of those things. But always on time and always on point. We're going to go live now to Milwaukee to preview what's coming up a little bit later on the show. Our very own news director, Terry Bell, joining us live, along with the host of the Earl Ingram Show, Mr. Earl Ingram himself. Good afternoon, Terry and Earl. What is the vibe like there in the room on the ground in Milwaukee?
Hi, Todd. Hi, Trygve. Well, the warm-up act is up first. We have speakers warming up the crowd, so to speak. I believe the president is still speaking with supporters and other VIPs. He did have a tour of a company called Hero Plumbing here in Milwaukee.
I think what we'll do, Mr. Sommers, is we're gonna bring that back to the studio. Gentlemen, if you can hear us, the audio there is, and these things happen, Trigby, as you know, when you get a lot of reporters, a lot of everybody together, sometimes the cell coverage and those things are a little bit difficult at times. So we'll try to reestablish connection here in a little while, and we'll certainly carry the president's comments. But, you know, you've talked about this before, Trigby, and again, Wisconsin's going to be ground zero in the 2024 election. And for me, I want your take on this. For me, it's encouraging to see President Biden and his team put focus on Wisconsin and bring him here live and talk about some of these successes. I mean, the SBA, Small Business Administration, in the last fiscal year has backed 4,700 loans valued at $1.5 billion to Black-owned businesses alone. That's a story we don't hear a lot about.
No, you don't. So 2 points, because you kind of had a two-part question there, or two-point comment. I think you're going to see a lot of both major party candidates and surrogates all across the state of Wisconsin. The state of Wisconsin over the next 49 months is going to get really tired of politicians, probably, and television advertising. Yeah. The reality is, you know, there's going to be a bunch of trips. You obviously have the Republican convention happening. Mm-hmm. As far as Biden and accomplishments, you know, that's going to be a central thing that he has to do, because the reality is most people in Wisconsin, most people nationally, are feeling uncertain about the economy. They think the economy is bad. The Biden administration, you know, there are some hopeful signs in the numbers. It's typically politically a lagging indicator. So we'll see.
Right.
But I think he's going to spend a lot of time talking about that.
Yeah, I do too. Another fact here, you know, since 2020, the share of the SBA's loans given to minority-owned businesses has increased from 23 to 32%. So another one of these storylines that, you know, all we hear is the negative. And I'm really happy personally to see Biden and his team getting out there, telling their narrative, their story directly to the people of Wisconsin. You know this, Drake, better than anybody else. Wisconsinites love to have a candidate come there and be able to hear from them in person.
Well, I will tell you what, that's not just Wisconsinites, Todd. That's pretty much everybody.
Humans, right?
Yeah. people like, here's a hint. People like it when others pay attention to them. particularly.
That? Funny how that works.
But yeah, it works. But I mean, Wisconsin's going to get a lot of attention because, as I've said before, you know, the reality is that who is going to be the next president of the United States runs straight through Wisconsin, and it runs through different constituencies in Wisconsin. You know, for the Biden campaign, the African-American community in Milwaukee County is critically important, making sure they turn out. And then, you know, obviously younger voters in Dane, and then, you know, what we call at the Lincoln Project, Dobbs Dads and Red Dawn Conservatives outstate, you know, really all things being equal, are probably going to decide this. They're right. Evers Johnson voters. There's about 50,000 of them, 40,000 of them in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And they're conservative, but they're really uncomfortable with Donald Trump and the anti-democracy and taking away of rights and not standing with Ukraine and
I think we have a reestablished connection with Terry Bell, our news director, and Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show live in Milwaukee. They are joining us now from the phone line. If all else fails, gentlemen, right, Ma Bell will bring us through. Terry, Earl, if you can hear us, give us a little preview of what it's like on the ground right now and what the vibe is in the room.
Todd, hi. I think you just threw it to me. This is Terry Bell at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce in Milwaukee. Governor Evers is speaking right now, one of the many warm-up acts, if you will, leading up to the president's remarks, which we're anticipating about a quarter to one or so. And, of course, we'll break into programming, as they say, as soon as the president takes the podium. Todd?
Sounds good. Earl, is Earl able to hear me, Terry, or not?
I'll hand the phone to Earl.
All right, very good.
All right, Todd. How you doing, man?
Hey, Earl, it's always great to have you on the show. Thanks for being there in person. I heard you a little bit earlier on As Goes Wisconsin. You're someone who has been integral in the Milwaukee community, not just in the union and the working folks part of Milwaukee, but also in the Black community. Give me your sense from your history, your experience in both of those communities. What would you like to hear from President Biden, and what do you think it means to the city of Milwaukee to have the president there today?
Well, you know, this is the third time that President Biden has been to Milwaukee, and one of the issues was that he had not visited the Black community, and he had not spoken to the Black community. It's no question he's going to receive the majority of the votes, as Democrats always do, from Black Milwaukee. And so since Black Milwaukee has really gone through some pretty difficult times, it doesn't matter what economic indicator we're talking about, the city of Milwaukee basically leads the nation in most of those negative realities. And the tragedy in that is, when I was a young man, none of those things existed in Milwaukee, had a high standard of living for people of color in the entire United States. So we've seen that transition. And so, to the credit of the Biden administration, he's already made some things happen that didn't even happen under President Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. And so he's here today to talk with the Black business community, which has been marginalized. And we hope eventually will be able to resurrect itself where people of color can then employ themselves and not sit back and wait for that to come from the government.
And Earl, I've heard you talk about on your show in the morning, every morning from 8 until 10 across Civic Media. Part of this is just good marketing, telling your story, right? Again, I mean, here at the Small Business Administration, the last fiscal year, 4,700 loans valued at $1.5 billion to Black-owned businesses alone. That's a figure not too many people hear about. And, you know, I don't care whether you're a Packer fan like Trigvy and me or a Detroit Lion fan like you. If you got a story to tell, you got to get that out to your fans, right, Earl?
So this facility that we're in right now, this facility was sitting here rotting, and people would drive past it. It was basically unkept. It's certainly a solid brick building that was many decades ago was alive, as many other facilities like it in the city of Milwaukee, with commerce, because of Milwaukee was the machine shop of the world. This was part of that. And mm-hmm. So all of that had died. And because of Joe Biden and his policies, this thing is alive. And the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce received some funds through President Biden and Build Back Better. And so this place is alive, and they are going to work towards creating 5,000 jobs or businesses, 5,000 Black businesses in the coming years. And so that's a reality that I think many of us have given up on. So Joe Biden deserves absolute credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Great, Earl. Thanks for your perspective, as always. Thanks for being there. Thank you for you and Terry joining us. We'll be back to you just a little bit later in the show when President Biden goes up to the podium. Thanks so much, Terry Bell, our news director, Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show. About a minute left here before we got to go to a quick break, Trigvy. But I think it says something, right? You listen to Earl, who knows the union folks, who obviously knows the Black community well, when he says, look, here's a guy who's done more in some respects than even Barack Obama. That says something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a question of Joe Biden having a case to make. It's a question of how well do they make the case, and are people listening?
Very well said. We'll come back and talk Colorado Supreme Court decision with Trigvy Olson and the Lincoln Project after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Lyball Show on Civic Media.
The The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We here at WBZH The Buzz have partnered with the Hayward Chamber of Commerce to remind you to shop local this holiday season. Small local businesses are the lifeblood of the community, and preserving them is key to preserving those things we most enjoy about the Northwoods. Small businesses are the first in local employment and charitable giving, and shopping local is the best way to stimulate a small town economy. The Hayward Chamber of Commerce and WBZH The Buzz are especially thankful to those who choose local small businesses first this holiday season.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tana Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday, December 20th, 2023. We are awaiting further coverage by Terry Bell, our news director, and Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show, and our entire fine cast of characters. We have our program director, Catherine Lake, our assistant program director, Brian Kelly, and our media specialist, Brady Colhart, all there on the ground. We'll bring you all of this here live on the show, also on the Civic Media app, and on all of our socials as well, awaiting the speech and the address by President Joe Biden. Joining us also each, as he does, each and every Wednesday, and what a trooper he is, Trigvi Olson, live from Washington, D.C., senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Trigvi, big court case coming down yesterday in Colorado. Mr. Zomers, I think what we're going to do, I want to play this report from Ed O'Keefe at CBS, both CBS Radio and CBS Television News, to set the stage. Then Trigvi will come back and get your thoughts.
We will fight for America like no one has ever fought before.
Campaigning in Iowa last night, Donald Trump made no mention of his latest legal hurdle.
They're after you. I just happened to be standing in their way.
But late Tuesday, a divided Colorado Supreme Court declared the former president ineligible to run again in that state, citing the Constitution's insurrection clause. The legal challenge to Trump's eligibility is in response to his actions on January 6, 2021.
And we're going to the Capitol.
Section 3 of the 14th Amendment disqualifies officers of the United States who have engaged in insurrection or rebellion from holding office. At issue in Colorado is whether the president is such an officer and whether Trump engaged in insurrection or rebellion. Four of the seven justices ruled yes to both questions. All seven were appointed by Democratic governors. We do not reach these conclusions lightly, the court wrote, adding later their ruling takes the country into uncharted territory. The ruling would only apply to Colorado. Similar challenges in other states have failed or are still pending.
This is really an unprecedented and, to be honest, unexpected ruling.
CBS News election law expert David Becker.
What the Colorado Supreme Court has just done is to kind of kickstart the process by which the United States Supreme Court is likely to rule. And their ruling absolutely will have some impact on whether or not Donald Trump, if he gains the Republican nomination, is eligible to appear on the general election ballot.
The Trump campaign, which began fundraising off the decision within hours, says it's planning to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, calling the Colorado ruling a completely flawed decision. Now, Trump's other Republican rivals don't always weigh in, but they did this time. Vivek Ramaswamy called the ruling wrong and incorrect. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said it should be reversed by the U.S. Supreme Court. And former governors Chris Christie and Nikki Haley had notably similar statements, saying Trump shouldn't be prevented from being president by a court, but instead by the voters. Here at the White House and the Biden reelection campaign, they had no comment, Gail.
Well, lots of people have lots of comments on this. Ed, we thank
There's Gail King at the end, Adam Bodas there. But Trigvi Olson, great reporting by Ed O'Keefe, I think, from CBS to really set this up, give us factual reporting and what the Republican response has been from the other Republican presidential candidates. As someone who has worked on Republican presidential campaigns like John McCain and others, what's your reaction?
Well, I mean, the fact that the 14th Amendment's even being considered for a presidential candidate is a sad day for democracy. And Donald Trump brought that on himself. You know, with my hat on of somebody who's worked on campaigns in the United States, obviously it's not good for Donald Trump's campaign will raise a bunch of money off it. But, you know, it isn't a great day, I don't think, for either side. With my democracy hat on from my work around the world on democracy, quite frankly, I find it a little bit we'll see what the Supreme Court does, Todd, because ultimately it's going to be the Supreme Court that has to adjudicate this.
Okay. Mr. Zalmers, are we ready to go live yet? Or are we going to keep it here just a little bit longer?
Just a little bit longer, right, but we do expect the speech from the president to begin anytime now.
All right, very good. We're awaiting President Biden, and as soon as we get the heads up, we'll go live to Milwaukee and Terry Bell and Earl Ingram. So just give me the sign, Mr. Zalmers, and we'll throw it to them. One of the things, Trigvi, that has been – I talked to our friend Matt Flynn a little bit this morning on this, and I asked him – you know, if let's say that Trump was, let's say the U.S. Supreme Court goes along with Colorado. You know, there's a chance that John Roberts may join the liberals on the court. I'm not sure if you can get another of the conservatives to go along, but let's just say that he does. They do. And I asked Matt Flynn, you know, how would this affect Trump's other cases, like the case, you know, in Georgia with Fannie Willis and the Jack Smith case. And Matt Flynn, and he'll have more on this on his show a little bit later, but he made the point that, you know, the judges in those cases probably would not allow that Trump verdict or from the Supreme Court into other cases because they're kind of apples and oranges in legal terms. One is a criminal case where you have to have a higher burden of proof, and what's potentially happening in the Supreme Court case on whether or not he can be on the ballot in Colorado is a lower legal bar. I thought that was an interesting take.
That's a, I had not heard that take, but that is fascinating. You know, I don't know, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to play one. And quite honestly, when I got accepted to the University of Wisconsin Law School and decided not to go, it was one of the best moves I ever made in my life.
I did not know that.
A rotten
you got accepted at UW Law School and didn't go. Wow. Yeah. What are you?
Actually, I'm a pretty prominent politician in Wisconsin, and I had a long conversation about it. And they were like, do you really need to do this with what you want to do? It was a smart move. But this is what I do know. From a democracy standpoint, you have to have both sides or a majority, a vast majority of people to accept something like disqualifying somebody from the ballot. And that isn't about whether Democrats accept it or even independents. It's about do a percentage of Republicans accept it. If the Supreme Court ultimately rules that he can't be on the ballot when he appointed three of the nine members of the Supreme Court, then I think it would have more standing and hold. Because it becomes real hard. Donald Trump in that circumstance looks pretty bad. But the bottom line is Donald Trump's not going to be removed by legal means. Donald Trump is going to be, is if you don't want Donald Trump to ever be president again, you got to get out and vote for Joe Biden, basically, because that's going to be the choices that you have.
And this whole
I agree with Joe Biden on everything? Nope. but that's the choice you have.
Yeah, but if the choice is Joe Biden and democracy or Trump and authoritarianism, I mean, you and I are on the same page here. We're voting for Biden.
Absolutely.
And I also
honestly, and I mean that has to hold for both sides, and if you don't, you know, here's the other thing is Democrats should get out since Joe Biden's going to be the nominee in states where they can, and Wisconsin's one of them, and vote in a Republican primary for anybody but Joe Biden. I mean, anybody but Donald Trump.
What do you, speaking of these other candidates, what do you make of this? But we're awaiting this live speech from Milwaukee. We're going to throw it to Milwaukee here as soon as we get the high sign. So just realize we have to break away. But what do you make of these other candidates? You have Ramaswamy and Haley and DeSantis and Christie kind of rushing to Trump's defense once again, saying, oh, the Supreme Court shouldn't keep him off the ballot in Colorado or anywhere else. He should be on and voters should decide it. Look, I just want, I mean, when these folks are sworn in, they swear an oath to one thing, the Constitution of the United States, to protect and preserve and defend it. I just want the rule of law and the Constitution to be followed. And to your point, if a majority of conservatives in the U.S. Supreme Court determine that Colorado did the right thing and that Trump is in violation of the U.S. Constitution, I'm fine with that because I just want the rule of law to be followed.
Yeah, I think Chris Christie and Nikki Haley probably those two, though, what you have to understand is they're running within a primary system where, I don't know, what was it, 162 members of their own Congress, like, you know, refused to basically honor their oath and were objecting to elections that were credible. And, you know, I mean, here's the thing. People in Wisconsin, like, those people were wanting to throw out your vote in the presidential election, right? Right, right? So I think what they understand is, well, the Colorado justices may have done this in good standing. The potential for a bunch of people in Texas to decide, hey, let's throw Joe Biden off the ballot with the Supreme Court, right? You don't want to get to a place where whoever controls the courts in each of the 50 states is determining who's on the ballot. And that's the danger in the precedent. Now, if the Supreme Court rules that he didn't, then he, you know, we can go back to the business of what we're going to have to do, which is beat Donald Trump at the ballot box. If the Supreme Court rules that Donald Trump, the 14th Amendment does apply, that's the job of the Supreme Court to make that determination. And because it's currently a conservative majority would actually work in democracy's favor.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting. I was watching your boss from Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson, last night on Lincoln Project TV or on his Twitter feed. And, you know, he was sending out these. What I found interesting is you know, he was sending a message, as only Rick can, directly to Trump saying, look, we're in your head. And, you know, Nikki and DeSantis are saying things to defend you publicly, but the phones are hot tonight by Republican donors and Haley and Haley's campaign and DeSantis's campaign trying to make hay off of this.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I actually think as big a news as the Colorado stuff was, I was saying this to Rick and some others on a call, actually. And it's, you know, I don't know. Did you see Rick's piece on Paul Ryan?
I did not.
So we decided to have several of us. I spoke out too, but Rick has a massive platform on social media, so he did as well. You know, we spoke out in defense of Paul Ryan because there are all these people on the left. Well, Paul Ryan should have been doing more when he was in office, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And it really, one of the rules of dealing with autocrats like Donald Trump is, you know, you take whoever, when people start saying the right thing and they're on your side, and Paul Ryan was saying the right thing and saying that Donald Trump was a narcissist and an autocrat, you take that. And that was, you know, Paul Ryan deserves criticism for not maybe doing more. I wish he had, but he's speaking out. And that's the important thing, whether it's, you know, this with the 14th Amendment, Paul speaking out. Those things have to be presented to the American people.
Right. No, I agree. We said the same thing on this show. In Wisconsin in particular, it's a really interesting position, right? Because now you have people like Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House, beloved congressman from Janesville, Republican in Wisconsin. Now you also have former chairman of the Republican Party, Andrew Hitt, in his latest with the fake electors and the settlement coming out, admitting that Joe Biden won, that Trump lost. And these people are in juxtaposition of people like Derek Van Orden and our friend Brian Schimming and others and Reince Priebus, who are still 100% on the Trump train. The Republicans in Wisconsin are split, and I think that helps leave an opening for Joe Biden.
Well, Here's the difference, I think. I think Paul Ryan, Andrew Hitt, assuming he's still got his law degree, he hasn't been disbarred.
No, he's still practicing.
So here's the thing. I don't think that Andrew Hitt and Paul Ryan, both of whom deserve to be applauded, they don't need politics to make a living and support their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I think Ryan, Sprine, Schimming, it's all they know and it's how they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, so they appease Donald Trump. Reince Priebus knows better than just about anyone what Donald Trump is, and the idea that he would be kowtowing to get back in that world after the way Donald Trump treated him.
Right.
Shame on you, Reince. Right. I've listened to you talk about it.
But I mean,
spent an entire lunch listening to your grovel about how poorly you were treated. What are you doing?
Did you really?
Speak the truth. Be a man. Stand up. Be someone that, you know, like Paul Ryan said, someone who you can look in the mirror and be proud of, that your kids can look at you and say, you know what, Dad did the right thing.
Right. We are waiting word. President of the United States, Joe Biden, is in Milwaukee speaking to the Black Chamber of Commerce. Our news director, Terry Bell, Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show, and our entire team are on the ground. And they're about ready to take the stage here. And I believe that we're going to be going to them shortly. We're just kind of waiting word, kind of vamping a little bit. But exciting again, Trick V, for the state of Wisconsin to get this attention, to have I remember when George W. Bush visited Richland Center, and there were people that were avid Democrats that came and were polite because it was the president of the United States. And I think that, you know, for Milwaukee, it's just great to have the sitting president there. It says something.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, you know, one of my favorite places in the world is the Katie Cheese Factory just outside of Spring Valley, Wisconsin. Anybody who's listening, if you're driving on 94 over the holidays, headed to the Twin Cities, like that way, going west, stop and pull off at the, I don't know what mile marker it is. It's the Woodville exit. Take a left, go down, go to the Katie Cheese Factory. President Bush stopped there. True story. So one year I send out, they have a picture of him up visiting. One year I sent out gift boxes from my business from the Katie Cheese Factory. And I sent one to Karl Rove because he had done some stuff for me. Yeah. And it turns out President Bush, he remembered President Bush stopping there during the 2004 campaign.
Wow.
He's like, that's the place Bush just loves. I'm going to share some of the cheese with them. So I told the people at the Katie Cheese Factory, best cheese in the world. Their cave-aged cheddar, phenomenal.
That's fantastic. All right, Trevor, you stand by here. Stand by, everyone. We're going to go to a special report now here on Civic Media. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Todd Allball of the Todd Allball Show. This is a Civic Media News special report coverage of President Joe Biden's address and speech in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And now we go into our entire news team standing by live in Milwaukee at the Black Chamber of Commerce. Civic Media's own news director, Terry Bell, and Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show. Gentlemen, thanks for being down there and presenting our audience with this live coverage. Take it away.
Well, thank you so much, Todd. Yes, as you mentioned, we are at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce, and the focus of today's speech is going to be what things like the American Recovery Plan and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law are doing to promote small business in particular and minority-owned small businesses to, you know, even put a finer point on it. So that's the message we're going to be hearing today, as I think it's been mentioned on your show today. You know, the president is very adamant about getting the word out about these things, and he's been on quite a busy travel schedule this week in particular. He's in Wisconsin, one of 3 to 5 incredibly important states in the next presidential election, depending on who you listen to. So we will be hearing from the president in just a few minutes, and to set him up, we will hear from the CEO of a company called Hero Plumbing. and that is the company that got the contract to replace lead pipes in Milwaukee. Very dangerous lead pipes, and not only will those pipes be replaced, but they will be replaced by a locally owned black business. I'm joined by Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show with more insights into what the president has to say and the message he's getting across today.
So thank you very much for the opportunity. And, you know, as a lifelong resident of this city and who's seen the city at its zenith as well as at its lowest ebb, it is great to know that the city is being recognized in a positive light. And so that light is coming from the President of the United States. It couldn't be anybody bigger. For decades now, our city has been floundering. And the struggle has been epic because, again, the city of Milwaukee and its black community is almost in the worst condition almost of any city in the entire nation. And so that's the reason that he's here. Votes, absolutely. The black Milwaukee, it comes out in numbers that are reflective of their belief that Democrats and whomever that is are going to address the issues that we have been dealing with for such a long, long time. And to the credit of Joe Biden, and I can state this as a man who's voted ever since I was 18 years old, and I haven't missed a vote ever. Joe Biden has done more to direct and guide and support our community than Barack Obama, than Bill Clinton, than other Democrats.
Even the fact that he's here, we were talking earlier today about how Milwaukee seems to be a bit behind the curve when it comes to the recovery that other industrial Midwestern cities have seen. And the fact that you know, perhaps there just hasn't been enough attention paid to Milwaukee. How do you feel? What does his being here today say about that?
Well, so let me, Barack Obama, when he was president, when he ran for president of the United States, came here several times during his presidency. He came here several times. But what he was not able to do is make happen what Joe Biden is making happen right now. It's just factual. And I don't know if it was the fact that being the first black president, there was pressure and stress that he could not deal with, what people were faced with. And Joe Biden is in a position that he can. And so Joe Biden is here to clearly say to the people of Milwaukee, your troubles I know about. We know it's been going on for a long time, but we are going to address those issues because it's the right thing to do.
That certainly speaks to the issues and also the politics of this. As you've mentioned, this is the third visit of the president to Milwaukee and Ernest, Wisconsin this calendar year. I think the second in Milwaukee within the last 3 months or so. We've seen in past elections, statewide elections, how important the black vote in Milwaukee County is to statewide totals.
It absolutely is. It's not just in Milwaukee, but, you know, across the entire nation, it is an issue. And so people know exactly, those politically know the importance of that. So the voter turnout is critical. And the city of Milwaukee clearly is going to be integral in the outcome of Milwaukee and how that turns.
Very good. We're going to hear a little bit now from Rashawn Spivey, the CEO of Hero Plumbing.
A plumber, and I opened my own business. Help him out. Starting at age 12, I rode on the truck when he did plumbing jobs around the city. This piqued my interest, and I decided I wanted to become a plumber. When I was 20, I attended the Milwaukee Area Technical College and then completed an apprenticeship with Plumbers Local 75. Mm-hmm. After years of hard work, I achieved my dream of becoming a master plumber, and I opened my own business, Hero Plumbing. Okay. Among plumbers, if a job takes 2 days to do and you get it done in a half of a day, we call you a hero. As we say, heroes get too much done. That's what I wanted the people at my business to be, heroes, specializing in getting too much done. That's why I'm so honored to be here today. President Biden's support of black-owned businesses has helped us live up to the hero name. Thanks to his investments, we've been able to replace 600 lead lateral pipes across the city, mostly at childcare centers. Not only has our business grown, but we're helping to save our community. As the saying goes, the plumber protects the health of the nation. Earlier today, President Biden stopped by Hero Plumbing, which is right next door to the plumbing business I worked at as a kid. I never imagined my dream of becoming a plumber would have led me to meet the president or the United States president. This is what President Biden's administration is all about. Helping us all become part of an economy that works for everyone so that dreams can be achieved with dignity. It is with great honor and humility that I introduce the 46th President of the United States, President Joe Biden.
Intro by Sean Spivey, the CEO of Hero Plumbing LLC. We are live in Milwaukee on a Civic Media special news report. The President of the United States, Joseph R. Biden, live Milwaukee, about to give a speech dressed in a natty blue jacket, stepping up to the dais. Here's Joe Biden.
Hello, hello, Milwaukee. It's great to be back. You know, the press has heard me say this, the ones that follow me, that my dad had an expression, if you have a seat, take one. If you don't, I understand. Come up with me. Sit in the stage with me. My dad used to have an expression. He said, Joey, a job, I mean this sincerely, is about a lot more than a paycheck. It's about your dignity. It's about respect. It's about being able to look your kid in the eye and say, honey, it's going to be okay. That's what we're all about. That's what we all want to do. And Rashawn, thank you for that introduction, and thank you for doing what my dad always worried about, whether we'd be able to have those jobs with a little bit of dignity. And I want to thank my colleague, Governor Evers. One of the best governors in the country. And she's sitting next to Congress. He's sitting next to Congresswoman Moore. Stand up, Congresswoman. She can tell you whatever she tells me, I do. It's great to see you, kiddo. And also, I want Mayor Johnson, thanks for the passport into the city. I appreciate it very much. And County Executive Crowley is here. And I want to thank Senator, a good friend of mine, Tammy Baldwin, who couldn't be here today. And I want to thank everyone here at Milwaukee's Black Chamber of Commerce for your partnership across the board on everything we've been working on. I come from a state that has the eighth largest black population in the country. And as they say, the saying goes, where I come, you bring me to the dance early on. You're proof that black small businesses with the talent, integrity, and ingenuity are the engines and the glue that hold communities together. And I mean that sincerely. You hold communities together. You're the ones that sponsor the Little League teams. You're the one that involved in the church events. You're the ones that hold the community together, and you keep it going. You keep it moving. And every new business opening is a vote for hope. Just hope.
hope. You know, you're making the American economy stronger and our nation more competitive. I'm here today to talk about something that doesn't get enough attention. I'm here to celebrate the progress we're making to support Black small businesses here and around the country. Because when Black small businesses grow, everything benefits. The community benefits. Everyone benefits. Not a joke. And it gives hope and prospects for people. Since Kamala and I entered office, America has filed a record number of, in less than 3 years, 15 million new job, new applications to start new business. 15 million. It's led to the fastest growth of Black business ownership in over 30 years. Across the country, wages for workers are up. Black wealth is a record, up record 60% since the pandemic. So many of you, look, and by the way, we're just, I mean this sincerely from the bottom of my heart, we're just getting started. We're just getting, so many of you had the vision and took the risk to open businesses, and you bet on yourself. Together, we're transforming the economy by investing in all of America and all Americans. When I said, when I ran, when I was elected, I'd represent everyone, blue, red, no matter what color the state was, wherever it was, we'd recommend, because think about it. Think of all the businesses that you know about throughout the Midwest and back in my way as well, that closed down because you had corporations deciding they'd get cheaper labor across the sea. You can move somewhere else. So they sent the jobs overseas and brought the product back home. And we changed that supply chain. We're having the jobs here and sending product overseas. And from the time I got involved in public life, I've only been around a few years. Oh, bless me, Father. Anyway. We're doing it by building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. Not a whole lot trickle down on my dad's kitchen table with the top down economy. But when you when you increase the middle class, the poor have a shot and the wealthy still do very well. The middle class does well and we all do well. That's what we call Bidenomics. By the way, so far, we've created 14 million new jobs, more jobs in 3 years than any president's created in 4 years in history. This is a fundamental break from trickle-down economics, economics that supercharged was supercharged by my predecessor, the guy who thinks we're polluting the blood of Americans these days. He cut taxes for the wealthy and big corporations, shipped good-paying jobs overseas, shrank public investment in infrastructure and education. We used to have the number one infrastructure in the world. Now we're number 16 or 17. We're changing that. We hollowed out communities, leaving too many Americans behind. It's a cycle folks on 30th Street Carter here in Milwaukee know well. It's an area where it became the backbone of Milwaukee's industrial might. 10,000 Black people migrated, tens of thousands migrated from the South to the middle of the country, to Milwaukee, for good-paying manufacturing jobs. Then decades of discrimination and trickle-down economics left communities like this one behind. But today, we're making sure Milwaukee is coming back and all of Milwaukee coming back. Mark my words. In Milwaukee, business applications are up 70% compared before the pandemic. The share of Black people employed in Milwaukee in 2022 was the highest in more than a decade. But the investments aren't just about jobs. The investments we're making offer opportunity, hope to communities to fully participate in the economy. I vowed that we'd invest in all of America, and that's what we're doing. We're leaving no one behind. No one need be left behind. Let me give you a clear example. We all know, as my introducer told you guys, we all know exposure to lead water pipes is hazardous to our health, especially to children's health. It can damage the brains and kidneys, for real. Lead exposure disproportionately affects low-income communities and disproportionately affects people of color.
This is the United States of America, for God's sake. Everyone should be able to turn on a faucet and know whatever they're drinking was clean and pure and not have to worry about it. Through the historic bipartisan infrastructure law, my administration is investing $15 billion to replace every lead pipe in every community in this country. And our goal is to do that. I want to thank Kamala. I want to thank Kamala for leading this effort. But, you know, your United States Senator Ron Johnson voted against this law. Well, I'll tell you what. With your help, the great governor and congresswoman in the state, they already received $130 million to do this work so far. Before I came to Milwaukee was slated to take over 60 years to replace the lead pipes. But last month, we proposed a new rule. It's going to require the water systems in Milwaukee to be fully replaced with every one of them within 10 years. 10 years instead of 60. Think of the lives saved. Think of the jobs and opportunities for small business owners like Rashawn, replacing lead pipes in homes and daycare centers and schools. We're just getting started. And so we are today announcing Milwaukee will be one of 22 communities in the country competing for tens of millions of dollars in federal grants to grow small businesses, create good-paying jobs, and build factories of the future. It matters. I'm also increasing the share of federal contract dollars going to small disadvantaged businesses from what was roughly 10% when I came to office to 15%. Here's how it works. Back in the 30s, it wasn't just that Roosevelt talked about unions being supported. They also had a rule that passed that very few presidents, including Democrats, paid much attention to. That every dollar a president gets to spend, for example, the Appropriation Committee and Congress passes redoing decks of aircraft carriers, the president gets to pick who does that job, all those federal programs. Well, guess what? The vast majority are supposed to be all American and supposed to be all American products. And guess what? Hardly anybody paid attention. But I'm paying attention. We're investing in America and American workers. In 2022 alone, we awarded nearly $70 billion to small disadvantaged businesses because of that law. Through the American Rescue Plan, another law that your distinguished senator voted against, we invested nearly $80 million in Wisconsin for the state Small Business Credit Initiative, helping countless small businesses grow. Through the Small Business Administration, we've delivered $50 billion in capital this past year to small businesses across the country, doubling the number and the value of Black-owned small businesses since 2020. I know that's a lot, and I'm talking to the Black Chamber of Commerce for thanking them for helping small business owners learn how to benefit from these transformative investments. I used to have a friend named Pete McLaughlin, who was a great ball player at Providence College, and he used to say, you got to know how to know. You got to know how to know. And that's why I want to thank the Chamber here for teaching people how to know what's available to them. All this groundbreaking work is producing groundbreaking results. Record job creation, historic economic growth. We have among the lowest inflation rates of any major economy on this earth. We're fighting a lower cost to give folks just a little bit more breathing room, my dad used to say. But let's be clear. Republicans are against so many critical actions that help working and middle-class people, especially Black Americans. Just remember how the pandemic hit Black businesses especially hard. How my predecessor, on his watch, women and minority-owned small businesses found themselves last in line to access emergency relief through programs like the Paycheck Protection Program. On my watch, energy and emergency relief went to minority-owned businesses first, not last. We also, when I came to office, we cut Black child poverty in half because of the child tax credit.
As I tried to extend it, every single Republican in Congress voted against continuing the program. But I'm not giving up till we get it back. Yeah. By the way, all the data shows it saves the economy money. The spending on child poverty saves money in health care, education, a whole range of things. This is not a down the drain. It generates growth. We drafted and I signed a law that will lower prescription drug costs significantly for all Americans. You know, I was at a town meeting in Northern Virginia, and I was holding a meeting. This is 2 years ago. I've been fighting Big Pharma for a long time. You know, if you go to whatever your provider, any drug you have to take, any prescription drug, and you decide you're going to buy it here in Milwaukee, or you're going to go buy it in Toronto, Canada, or Paris, France, or Budapest, guess what? You're going to pay 2 to 3 times as much for the prescription. Same company, same American manufacturer, same thing. Because Medicare pays for it in most cases. And guess what? If you're at the VA and you get the prescription drug, they negotiate the price with the pharmaceutical company. Well, they passed laws earlier, way beyond. I've been fighting it for over 35 years to say you can't negotiate. Medicare can't negotiate for drug prices for. And by the way, that's how they make enormous amounts of money. And by the way, every one of my Republican colleagues voted against this one, and now they're trying to cut Medicare.